You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are on one of the day of days in American history. When you look at the calendar now, certain days certainly jump out for you depending on if you're American or not. If you're American, days like December 7th jump out. Days like November 11th jump out, the signing of the armistice that ended World War I. June 6th stands out. Another day of days, the beginning of the Normandy invasion. February 19th stands out if you're a Marine. It's a day that Marines went ashore on the island of Iwo Jima. February 23rd is the day that the flag is raised. And then, obviously, September 11th, 2001. So, interesting to think about how it, how that event, 17 years later, affects your life. And just about everybody that you hear on this program, that event changes the trajectory of lives. Yeah, it's amazing when you actually think about it that an event around the world that changed lives. And so, when you think about it, it's amazing. It's amazing to think that, that from Afghanistan, it would reach into your life personally and affect your life. So, and it has very, very much so. It certainly affected mine. There would be no All Marine Radio were it not for September 11th, 2001. I don't think either one of my sons, I don't say this for sure, but I was out of the Marine Corps. I don't think either one of my sons would have joined the Marine Corps. They simply would not have been around it. They would have known that I had been in it, but I don't know that they would have, without the meeting my battle buddies and things like that. I'm not sure they would have been exposed enough to want to do it, but they were, and their lives have been changed fundamentally, for the better, I would tell you, but nonetheless, the reverberations of September 11th, 2001, in just my life, let alone the lives of all my friends that you hear come on this program. So 17 years later, we remember the events of that day. And so you're going to hear the Secretary of Defense speak here in a couple minutes. And after we'll open the show real quick, and then you'll hear from Secretary of Defense Mattis speaking today a little bit ago at the Pentagon. So you'll hear his comments, and then you know there's a couple things that I like to play on this day. And if you've been around the program for a long time, you've probably heard them. So bear with me. I think they merit listening again. But I don't say it. How do I say this? I don't play them so much so that the words inspire you the same way I think they touched me the first time I heard them. I play them to remember the emotion, the uncertainty that of September 11th. Who did this? What would happen as the nation prepared for war? I was talking to Napa Man, and he was in Napa when it happened. And actually rented a car. He's with his wife. We rented a car and drove straight back to Camp Pendleton. And he said there was a somberness. He was working at the School of Infantry. He said that there was a somberness at work, and when the next class of recruits reported in the following week, he said you could have heard a pin drop in the room when you know they were sitting through their orientation, because they knew they were going to war. And he said it was pretty cool later on seeing them in Iraq. They had most of them that were still in had been to war multiple times. They were now team leaders and squad leaders and whatnot. And so F-18 man tells a story of he was working at the recruit depots then, and of having to find out if any of the recruits had family members, that all air traffic stopped out of San Diego International Airport, Lindbergh Field as it's known. And so it was quiet. And even the recruits noticed that. You know, what's going on? And so they were taken into the theater, and they were told what was going on. And so, and then other than that, though, they didn't have any other contact with the news and whatnot. So interesting day as you kind of turn the kaleidoscope around and how it impacted people. And then, you know, how it changed all of our lives, all the people that you hear that have come on this program, how it changed their lives, sent the nation on a path to war. And we've been at war since 2001. And we're at war today, but still in the vicinity of Iraq, on the periphery of Iraq. And that thing is not settled. And also, we are, you know, we're at war still in Afghanistan. So an awful lot of living has gone on since September 11th, and an awful lot of lives changed. Over 7,000 American lives lost. I couldn't even tell you the number of wounded that are Americans as battlefield medicine evolves and gets better and brings more wounded, severely wounded people home. But that certainly has an impact in our communities and families. And so today we remember all of that. We remember that day and how it changed everybody's life, right? You go to an airport and you don't walk onto an airplane anymore. You go through security. And that morning, I mean, like everybody, I just remember, I don't even know how I would describe it. I would describe it as a blackness. as you watched that, as most of us, you know, the initial news was that a plane had crashed into the World Trade Towers. And I think, like most people, you know, like, oh, you know, you remember the story from World War II when some kind of bomber crashed into the Empire State Building, hit the Empire State Building. What was it? How could it do it? And then so you expected to see poor visibility in New York City. And then I remember walking down the hallway at work and people were gathered around the television, a small television, and actually where the salespeople worked. And I said, what's going on? They said a plane crashed into World Trade Tower. And you saw the smoke, and he said, and then you saw the clear skies, and he was like, how could that happen? And, you know, and I stand there watching when the second plane hit. And just the numbing realization that somebody did that on purpose. And they weren't small aircraft. It wasn't somebody's Cessna. They were huge aircraft. And then, just the horrible video of that day of people jumping out of those buildings, of the audio of the phone calls that those poor people left family members. I mean, to me, it's just gut-wrenching. Honestly, it made you talk about being motivated to go put an ass whooping on the people that may have been affiliated with the people that did that. Not even an issue. Not even an issue. You know, and the saddest part to me is that those people didn't do anything to deserve that. They just got up and they went to work that day. And it's to me the cowardice of the Islamic fundamentalist. They will set upon the defenseless in some warped sense of I don't even know what it is. But to me, it's straight up cowardice. And I've heard people defend, well, it takes a lot of guts to drive that plane in that building. It takes courage. It doesn't take any courage to murder innocent people. It takes no courage. Innocent, defenseless people. So you remember all that today, and a lot of it is not pleasant. So let me tell you what we're going to do on the program. We'll talk about it a little bit, and you'll hear the Secretary of Defense's comments this morning. He and the Vice President spoke at the Pentagon today, a little bit ago, as different observances are held around the nation relative to September 11th. And then I'll play a couple clips that to me just, and I'll tell you the stories behind the clips, and they evoke to me, you can hear the emotion and the uncertainty of the days and the weeks that followed what happened as we looked at what happened. You know, Mike came on, I want to say last year, and I think I played audio from it, but they were clips from a Dateline show about, no, it was the PBS report. And it had to deal with September 11th. And that there was people that knew, and you had issues between the FBI and the CIA that they wouldn't share information. That they could have rolled up two dudes in San Diego, and the CIA was trying to turn them. And so they didn't communicate that information to the FBI. Those guys then flew and met these hijackers. So you begin to hear the story of, oh my God, they did it. We don't know that story as it's unfolding. But there's people in law enforcement that do. That's a part of the story. And then, you know, the courage of the people on Flight 93. You know, the whole let's roll. And we're not going down like this. We're not going to go down like victims and fought, and that plane crashes in a field in Pennsylvania. So all that rolled into the events of today. So, pretty pregnant with meaning. and pretty prominent in terms of a point to a day that changes millions of lives, changes the trajectory of somebody's life. And September 11th certainly would be it for my friends. So we'll talk about that today. And then in the second hour, Larry Hinkle's going to come on. Larry Hinkle was just on Fox News. He and two other American veterans walked about 1,000 miles with three veterans from the United Kingdom, from Great Britain. And they did that to raise awareness for a variety of veterans' issues. So we'll talk to Larry about his walk. Now, you met Larry when he walked cross-country a couple years ago. And so we catch up with Larry every once in a while when we see him in the news. So it'll be good to catch up with him. So we'll talk to him, and then the governor will join us. So we'll talk about whatever we talk about with Mike. It's always interesting to get Mike's thoughts on this kind of stuff. That's the program this morning. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. I also want to share some thoughts on the funeral of Carl Mundy and the pageantry of the Marine Corps. Pretty cool. Dedicated to everybody who had their lives changed 17 years ago, and what about 10 o'clock? So about 17 years ago and about 2 hours ago. So, and a lot of people had their lives changed for the better, and certainly a lot of families had their lives changed for not the better. So just dedicated to everybody who's had their life changed. You know what's amazing about that little piece of audio is that that was captured on somebody's iPad by their ambient microphone. The acoustics of that, I mean, you would be happy if you were recording that as a professional. You would be elated with the quality of that. I mean, it's absolutely crystal clear in terms of the audio. But the thing, the other thing that strikes me, not only about the quality of the audio, is the enthusiasm, the fired up nature of those singing. That is Patrick's OCS class, I think, right after they were commissioned. So obviously, but it's obviously fired up, but emblematic of groups of Marines that have sung that song throughout the course of time, and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of those guys and girls have gone and fought since September 11th. So I'm going to play it again. This is dedicated to them, their enthusiasm, their courage, their selflessness, and also to their families who watched them go off to a fate that they didn't really know, an uncertainty that they all had to live with. So this is dedicated to that and enthusiasm and the unselfishness and the concern of their family. But listen to the level of motivation in addition to the audio quality of this thing. I love it. Sings their song like we sing our song. Nobody comes close. Nobody has a song that's as cool as our song. Right? Our song talks about heaven, right? And the shock everybody's going to get when they see Marines in guarding the streets. So it's a little bit humorous. And it talks about keeping your honor clean. It's an interesting song, but it's a great song to sing too. Nobody has a song like we do.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine
were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And so our Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather in Maryland. You'll hear the Secretary of Defense speak next. Currently, it is 74 degrees in Quantico with cloudy skies, and they've got weather back there. Camp Lejeune has about 4 weather warnings. The base has largely been shut down. All activity on the base has been stopped for the tropical storm that is hitting the East Coast. So they've got that going for them. I know that because I know people there. Granbury, Texas is raining at 71 degrees. So they've got some weather going on today. Actually, Camp Lejeune has 5 weather warnings right now. They have a hurricane watch going. They have a storm surge watch going. They have a tropical weather statement, a beach hazard statement, and a local pollen alert. The pollen's going to get an ass whooping, though. So, yeah, hurricane watch means hurricane warning means it is a hurricane and it's making landfall. Hey, Colleen, make as much noise as you want to, okay? Yeah. Unbelievable. 52 degrees under sunny skies in Big Timber, Montana. 29 Palms, sunny in 74. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 64. Cool on the west coast. Okinawa, pretty normal. Dark, cloudy in 82. In Afghanistan, early in the evening, 95 degrees under clear skies at the home of All Marine Radio. 65 degrees under cloudy skies, looking for 74 degrees. My favorite right there. All right, so on September 11th, the Secretary of Defense and the Vice President spoke. You are going to hear the Secretary of Defense speak right now. These are his comments from a little bit ago. At the Pentagon.
Thank you, General Selva, Mr. Vice President, Mrs. Pence, Your Royal Highness, Cabinet officials. Welcome to all of you here on this sacred ground, and to our first responders who join us here today, thank you. To our most honored guests, the families of those we lost 17 Septembers ago, let me say to you that here in the shadow of our rebuilt Pentagon, we are all part of your larger family. We stand with you every day in honored tribute of the fallen of your loved ones. In that spirit, this morning we commit ourselves to remembering and honoring the lives that might have been. We keep faith with the innocent who perished. We take solace in their deaths were not in vain, for in their passing they empowered us forever with our enduring sense of purpose. And we remember that hatred disguised in false religious garb to murder innocents will not prevail. Though evil visited us on a cloudless Tuesday morning, courage and strength answered amid the fire and smoke in New York City, over a Pennsylvania meadow, and in this very building, as innocent people from 91 countries were murdered on our soil. Many of those countries represented by the foreign dignitaries who join us here today. We remember the bravery and sacrifice of those who fell here in America and then on far-flung battlefields. We salute the soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guardsmen and Marines, who nailed our colors to the mast, giving their last full measure of devotion, declaring proudly that Americans do not scare. And we followed to the end of the earth those who sought to break our spirit. Together with the families of the fallen, we remember all that is good, all that is true, and all that is beautiful about those we have lost. And if we remember them, if we honor them by living as they would have us live, if we in the Department of Defense do our best every day to protect America's promise to the world, then we keep our promise to them and to ourselves and to future generations. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my great privilege to introduce the Vice President of the United States, Vice President Pence.
The the Vice President then made remarks. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it right here, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good,
but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on Armoring Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
That's the same Colleen that got yelled at a few minutes ago. Yeah, the one and only. Doesn't have the sense not to slam the door. Unbelievable. You know who I hope gets her asses kicked one of these days good on TV? Those punks, those punks from Antifa. I hope they just get shit kicked. They show up, right, with their hoods on and pushing people and, you know, generally cause a mayhem. I can't wait till they get boxed in someplace and then just get the shit thumped out of them. They need that. Tough, yeah. Tough people in hoods preying on the innocent. I have never liked bullies in my life. And I'm a cool guy too. I've been a cool guy since I was a little kid. And I didn't like bullies. And I never was one. Now I always had great empathy for kids who, you know. A friend of mine was named Michael Messner. Redheaded kid, slight build. Like everything you wouldn't want for your kid. But he was a nice guy. He was my friend. And so, nobody picked on Messner. September 17 later, Secretary Madison. He would go, his life, obviously, changed incredibly. The opportunity that the war provided to him, as a war fighter, to do the things that he did, has obviously changed his life in a huge way. And so he served today as the Secretary of Defense because of it. He leads Task Force 58 into Afghanistan and as a Brigadier General. So in what would be, he would come back, take over the 1st Marine Division, and go from there. So where our lives would, our paths would cross. So, yeah, it's just, you look back and the reverberations of that day. My thoughts go to friends of mine they live in Minnesota. But I lived in a city called Grand Forks, North Dakota. And their names are Ron and Char Pape. They had three sons. Riley was the oldest. He joined the Marine Corps. Ross was number two. He was looking at the Marine Corps, but when his brother joined the Marine Corps, he joined the Army. And then the younger brother, Ryan, joined the Marine Corps. Riley fought in Iraq in 2004 as a member of Alpha Company 1st Recon, and then was killed while he was on terminal leave in a motorcycle accident. Ross went to Iraq twice and has been on the program. And most recently, talking about alcohol and PTSD. And he's farming now, doesn't drink, and he's a good man, doing good, but rough times. And then Ryan joined the Marine Corps after Riley was killed in 2005. He graduated, Riley was killed in May, had his funeral, I want to say, and a week later, they had Ryan's graduation, high school graduation. That summer, late that summer, he joined the Marine Corps, and off to boot camp he went. Again, a member of 1st Recon Battalion, and deployed to both Iraq and Afghanistan. And he was killed in a static line night parachute jump at Camp Pendleton, which is the Normandy, which is the Normandy jump, right? Stand up, buckle up, shuffle to the door. That door, that jump at night. Yeah, he was killed. And so, you know, you think about their thoughts today as they contemplate their lives and how their lives were changed, and now they've lost two sons because of it. So, anyway, the things that go through your head today. I want to play a speech that was given by Calvin Butts. One of the things, and Secretary Mattis alluded to it, but, you know, that day, you know, you saw the greatness of America in New York City. You saw the greatness of America at the Pentagon, in that nobody asked what tribe you're from. Nobody asked what God you worship, what version of it you worship. Nobody asked any of that. They just come and help. And you, when you hear the 9/11 recordings from New York City, you hear every accent under the sun. And all they're doing is trying to help. We heard the story of Sarah Rudder, who on September 11th, she was being med boarded out of the Marine Corps because she had structural damage caused, I think, in recruit training. She ultimately graduates. She goes to admin school, and she just can't do it. So she's fighting a med board to get her out of the Marine Corps. She's at the Navy Annex that day, which is above the Pentagon, if you've ever seen it. And she had just been promoted, I want to say, to Lance Corporal. She was outside smoking when the plane went over the annex and hit the Pentagon. Ran down there to help. And then, they got organized and was down there the following day retrieving bodies from the rubble and injured her for the second time, which ultimately leads, I want to say, maybe 9 years later, to her having her lower part of her leg. She's a below-the-knee amputee. And now Sarah is an achiever in the Wounded Warrior Games. So, you know, all these people that have come on the program and had their lives impacted in some way, shape, or form, and were there that day. So, anyway, but this speech, to me, I watched this on September 23rd, and I was getting ready to watch a football game, and I saw this on C-SPAN, and I sat down to watch it. I wound up watching it for 3.5 hours. But for me, there's two moments in it that I will never forget. One is, if you can remember the uncertainty, like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? This memorial service was at Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium in New York City, and it was for families had been affected. So what, there was approximately 3,000 people that were missing. And, you know, but 2 weeks on the 23rd, so it had been almost 2 weeks after the attack on September 11th. People were coming to the numbing realization that whoever they loved was not coming home. They would never see them again. And so this speech is by I'd never seen him before. His name's Calvin Butts. He's a Methodist. No, he's a Baptist minister in New York City. But he's obviously he's a great speaker. But to me, it brings back connotations of the uncertainty. But I've always found his words inspiring, and I tend to play them today. So here's Calvin Butts in the aftermath. By about less than 2 weeks, in New York City at Yankee Stadium at an event called Prayer for New York. And representatives from every religious organization in the city came. Senator Clinton with her husband, former President Bill Clinton, were there. The governor of New York, George Pataki. The mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, was there. You had guys like Pavarotti singing, Bette Midler, Lee Greenwood sang God Bless the USA. So, I mean, it was a big deal. And the stadium was probably, it holds, I used to hold 55,000 people. So I would say it was probably half full, maybe a little less than half full. That many people showed up for it. So in this, all these different religious leaders spoke. And here's what Calvin Butts had to say. And I would just tell you, a particular note is listen to the crowd respond to some of the things he says, especially about being afraid.
Reverend Dr. Calvin Butts.
Yeah, there you go. Oprah Winfrey right there.
This memorial service is for you, and I hope that at this time you will take the hand of the one who is sitting on either side of you. You may know them, you may not, but if we are going to stand in unity, we must unify by at least the joining of our hands and hearts. And I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell them, together we'll get through this. Together, we'll get through this. Now, let me tell you what I mean. In the harbor of New York, there stands a lady. She is the Statue of Liberty. And I thank God today that while I regret and mourn the loss of life and the destruction of the World Trade Towers, that those cowards did not come near Lady Liberty. On her tablet, listen. On her tablet are penned the words that have come to symbolize our nation. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuge of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And I want to pause now and thank the mayor of the city of New York for working so hard to keep that door golden and shining and bright for all of the United States of America. But listen, let me tell you this. We have said together we will get through it because we have come through it before. Madmen have assassinated four of our presidents. We came through it. Madmen have assembled missiles against our country. We called it the Cuban crisis. We came through it. Someone erected a wall in Eastern Europe trying to divide East from West, but the wall came down. We came through it. And even though now we're facing cowards who hide behind the terror of secrecy, I want you to know that as a nation, even though the president said this will be a hard fight, there was a great poet who said, harder yet may be the fight, and right may often yield to might. Wickedness a while may reign, and Satan's cause may seem to gain. Oh, but there is a God who rules above, and he's got a hand of power and a heart of love. And if I'm right, that God will fight my battles. We'll get through it. I take my hat off to the firefighters and the police officers and the emergency workers and all of those brave women and men. And listen, I want you to know, America, and I know that our governor and our mayor and our president will see to it. We will build a monument. Their names will be etched in granite. There will be an eternal flame burning. But I'll tell you what's more important than that. And that is that we show them, as they look down upon us, that we are not afraid today, get back on the airplane. Go back to work. Rebuild America. We are not afraid today. We are not afraid.
You know, I sat there and listened to that, you know, with, you know, tears coming to my face. You know, he was, to me, the first guy that I heard speak like this. And the whole fear in the face of the unknown, what's going to happen and all that. I thought his speech was awesome.
One last thing. I have said together we'll get through it. We will get through it. Because we are the United States of America. And I will say this. We have died on every battlefield. We died in Normandy. We died on every battlefield. We died in the deserts of Arabia. We've died on every battlefield. We marched through Tripoli. We've died on every battlefield that the world has ever known. And our beloved sisters and brothers lost their lives on the battlefield of the World Trade Center. But listen, they are patriots of America. And before we leave here today, we must sing, "Oh, beautiful for patriots' dreams that sees beyond the years. Thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. Oh, America, America, God, mend thine every flaw and confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty and law. Together we will get through it because we are the United States of America. God bless America."
Yeah, I hadn't heard anybody talk like that. You know, it was just all the different terrible stories that were coming out of New York and the Pentagon and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And it was just horrible stuff. And, you know, what would happen? And then you hear something like that. And you're reminded, and we've been reminded ever since, of the strength of our country. Which is, no matter how often people try to sell you how divided we are as a nation, you know, they haven't been around very long in this country, the people that say that. Because Americans know how to behave. And so we can have arguments and all that stuff, and that's a privilege in a democracy. But whether you look at what happened in and around Houston, you look at what happened in Puerto Rico, you know, we know how to get after something. And when we do it, there is no litmus test for race, color, or creed. And that makes us unique in the world, this experiment in democracy. And that's happened time after time after time when you look at the events post 9/11. So I was sitting there, and then after that speech came this song. And what I want you to listen is, this is the Boys and Girls Club of Harlem. And they sing "We Shall Overcome." And I interviewed the soloist, and after this, I saw this and I was touched by it. And I called out the Boys and Girls Choir of Harlem. And I want to say his name, his first name is Terrence. I had him on my radio show and I interviewed him. I said, "Were you prepared for the reaction that you got?" He said, "No." He said, "But you know, there's about, We Shall Overcome is kind of like the song Eternal Father. And Eternal Father has about, I don't know, how many, 100 verses or something like that. And so, of which only one of them we care about. So, he said he and the choir director were trying to choose the appropriate verse. And he said they're reading, you know, different verses. And he said, when I saw the whole thing, "We Are Not Afraid," he said, I looked at him and I said, "Here it is." And he looked at it and he said, smile. He just smiled and he said, "That's it." And so, listen to the reaction as he sings, as Terrence sings the word, "We are not afraid." You'll hear in the background the 20-something thousand people react to it. So here you have it. "We Shall Overcome." The Boys and Girls Choir of Harlem on September 23rd, 2001 in Yankee Stadium, and an event called Prayer for New York and the video is heartbreaking. I actually bought the CD after I watched it. The video is heartbreaking because there's families sitting there with a picture of their father or their mother, you know, and the kids sitting there crying, and it's just some of the visuals are horrible. But that was the reality of that event. So here's a song that always takes me back to those days. But again, the unifying theme that occur in this country, regardless of race, creed, or color. I love that song. Probably as much for the context as for anything else. This is dedicated to the 3,000 plus people that were killed that day, to the first responders that responded, and then ultimately come to the chemicals that were released into their bodies as they went back to that rubble on a daily basis to either try to save people initially or to not abandon them later on. They felt the need to do that. And so this is dedicated to them. It's also dedicated to the 7,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who would give their life. It's dedicated to their families who today live without them. It's dedicated to all of our wounded, not only physically but mentally as well. So this is dedicated to them. I know the nation will never forget. It's our duty to help them remember, though.
Thank you.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.